I took her down to Sunday school last week. So that's nearly 2 weeks. Now, I don't know if you're the same as me, but what started out in a straight line, you know, you're waking up in the middle of the night and you start to think about it and it gets more complicated and more difficult and it ends up like spaghetti. Well, I'm hoping the spaghetti comes out straight. About a few weeks ago, in the house group, we were just discussing among ourselves how we felt the church was doing. You know, and there was lots of different things, but the general consensus was that it was doing good. We felt a ripple. Do you understand what I mean? And I was thinking the pool of Bethesda. And when the pool started to ripple, you had to jump in. So I want to give you this in two parts. The first one is 100% practical. Every one of us are born with some kind of talent or something that you're good at. You know, maybe you're a brilliant mathematician or singer or cook or anything. You know, we've all got natural talents. And the fellowship could do with whatever your talent is. Kevin could do with the mathematicians to count all the money that's going to come in for his appeal. But, hey, don't be shy. You say, well, I can't do anything. Well, can you pour a cup of tea? We'll take that into the kitchen. Can you stack chairs? And when you all go out in the Sunday morning, the chairs are all stacked at the side. If we share the things that need to be done, then the burdens are lighter. And there's something I particularly feel strong about. I've heard on a number of occasions from people testifying that they come into the church and they felt comfortable. They felt, it's gone out my head, but it'll come back in a minute. You know, really relaxed, and I said, well, why is that? Well, so-and-so came over and just spoke to me, and, you know, if people are comfortable, they relax, and if they relax, they listen. So a relaxed person will listen to Kevin more than somebody that's looking around, you know. But it's not up to Kevin to go around and relax folk. It's up to you and me to go and relax them. If you see a stranger coming in, go and talk to them. Come away from your crowd and go and talk to them. Just say hello. Other people in the fellowship are going through maybe wee trials or something. Why not just say, how are you doing? Can I be a help? You know, a few words can make a wild difference. Just to know that somebody's caring. Now we move on. This is part two. We've all got these talents, but you know, the Lord has a special gifts for his people. From the Holy Spirit. Special. They're for the church. Through you. And Jesus says to the disciples to seek the best of them. But If you're not looking for something, you'll not find it. Look for it. Seek the gifts of the Spirit. And use them in the church. There's some people have already got that. Can I encourage you to pray and use it for the raising up of the church and from the salvation of new people? A couple of illustrations. Two artists. The first one dealt in ceramics. And he went to his bed one night. And during the night, he just saw this picture in his head with this fantastic thing. And he's dreaming about making this thing. And he was so excited, he woke up and he got paper and he drew it all out. And he was going to use this kind of glaze and that colour. And oh, he was so excited. And he went back to his bed when he was finished drawing. And when he woke up in the morning, after just a wee bit sleep, because he couldn't sleep over the heads of it, he went to work. He got everything ready. Everything was on his bench, just ready to start. And then he thought, what if it doesn't work? What if I've got the colours wrong? What if... So he never did build it. He kept his drawing and occasionally looked back at it and magnificent, but it's gone. The second person played the violin. And he was good on the violin, but he wasn't great. He would play in church halls and with a group of fellow musicians. But one day, somebody heard them and recognized the talent that was there. He was a wealthy man, so he spent a lot of money buying him a really good violin. The guy was so excited about the violin. He got home, opened up the case, and took it out gently and just examined every bit of it, and he put it back. Next day or two, he would take it out and give it a polish and put it back. So there was a concert this night. And his other friend says to him, using your good violin tonight? I'll maybe, you know, it's maybe not going to be right. I might not use it right. But because he was a trained violinist and he was good, his friend said, look, you've got a gift. The price has been paid. It's yours to use. So, during the night of the recital, he took the new violin with him. He took it out, tuned it, and he started to play. He was well trained. So, to begin with, he played the way he was trained. And then he thought, this is really good. So he played with his training and his mind. But finally, he started to play with his heart as well. And he put everything into it. And his violin started to sing like never before he'd ever played. This sweet music went through everything. Everybody was blessed with this music. So really we have a chance. We can have it in our head and just leave it there. Or we can listen to the message of the gift that has been paid for and take it forward and tell the church. Use this gift to lift the church, lift the people, and bring more people into the house of the Lord. Bless you.
Okay, I didn't ken fit Eddie was going to share, but sort of compliments if I've got to share. But before I get into that, because it's wifey's day and all that, okay, got you a little present. I need a man. Here he is. To give you this suit. This is chocolate eggs. Got for a very expensive place. Expensive because I went in for eggs and came out with eggs, a new hedge trimmer, and a soldering iron. I was playing enough to give Mel as well, because some of them look unsure. I just get Abdi. They do contain chocolate, so if you're allergic to chocolate, the chocolate eggs are there for you. You can get a custard cream or something for the kitchen. But just giving gifts, Ken, even in a time of austerity, we're able to bless people. Hallelujah. So, that'll make you relax and listen to the message. Well, for Eddie was saying, on a serious note, bringing it back, is he really touched on something. And he went my last night, and I'd already prepared a message. But he's speaking about gifting, and sometimes why we didn't use our gifting. I think a lot of that's due to fear. And this morning, I'm really speaking on, the title is, Gain Jesus Your Benjamin. And I really believe that God wants a fearless church. Just a fellowship of fearless people. That he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a love, a sound mind, and a gentle spirit. And I believe as apostles moved, we are fearless spirit, just to fear the Lord. They moved in power. They get the picture of a lion. They're just fearless. That we'd be delivered for fear and faith and move and engage with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to read Genesis 42 together. It's amazing because this just comes after we spoke last week on how Joseph was saying, look, I have prospered and became fruitful in the land of my affliction. He said, I've forgotten my dad's family and the hurts that it's caused. I'm moving on. And my dad knew myself. And then the very next chapter, it gets back to his dad because there's something greater going on than just Joseph's life and Joseph's heart and Joseph moving on. There's a reconciliation to happen. So in one sense, God is sorting out Joseph's life and God will sort out your life. Hallelujah. If I believe that in here this morning, you're the Joseph. God's got to sort out your life. He's put a favor on you. He's got to bless you and get you through the prison moments and the loneliness and rejection. But it's not just that going on because it wasn't just Joseph. There was this whole family, Jacob and the lineage, a promise, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob and so on and so forth. And the line was to come for the tribe of Judah. Jesus was to come for this lineage. So it wasn't just Joseph and the center himself. There's this other issue that's going on that God's interested in, and it's family. So God is interested in you. And at the same time he's interested in you, he's able, with the other hand, to sort out your family situation as well. He wasn't just interested in Joseph. And this story doesn't just go on that Joseph was prosperous in Egypt. End of story. Because at the same time, God is trying to sort out his family. He's trying to sort out Jacob and the brothers, and his brothers are still carrying guilt and shame. He got to sort all that out as well. And written into every message is a story of Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate message, the message that's got to come forth. Christ, the hope of salvation. So God's got it sorted, isn't he? You can read us, you see the mess that they started in, the anxiety, the hatred, the jealousy, the family turmoil. And God sorts out Joseph, he sorts out Jacob's family and causes them to prosper. But we get the benefit of the book, and through it all, the story of Jesus is written. But what a sad picture of Jacob in chapter 42. When Jacob heard it was grain in Egypt, I'm not sure. Some of you wasn't here 2-3 weeks ago, but 2-3 weeks ago, just We don't want to miss this miracle that there was a dream about grain and this fellowship. Good grain coming for our way. And we spoke on Joseph and we touched on grain 3 weeks ago. And Mark Christofferson got a vision as well about grain coming through the worship team, and we're to protect the worship team. Again, it was Paul and Anna that was in the vision, but really we need to pray for our worship team to be protected as well. But it was good grain in the house of the Lord. And Mark, name is stick that God is blessing us with good grain. And in a time of famine, it says that Jacob held for the good grain was, it was in Egypt during a time of famine. I'm praying for a day to come that people in this community, and I believe it started to happen, will suddenly hear there's good grain in a fellowship. There's good grain in church. Like, it doesn't matter if the reputation or the religious church has gotten in communities, but God has still got his remnant. He's still blessing his fellowships. He's still blessing the church. And during times of famine, don't be scared about times of famine, that people start to hear, hold on, I'm hearing stories of hope. And we want it for other fellowships as well. But I'm praying that people are starting to hear a sound of hope between in Grattan Place. A sound of good news. Hold on, during a time of famine, there's good news happening somewhere. In a time of vulnerability, a time for a lot of people are scared. It's not a time for the church to be scared. It's a time of church for proclaim that Jesus Christ will care for us. He's cared for us every step of the way. His promise is he'll care for us. But during a time of famine, the greatest tragedy in modern day history, that as soon as I say the date, you'll recognize that it was 9/11. Wasn't it? Tragedy. Just, I'll never forget that day. You can, that the week after, almost every church in the USA was full, because people was praying now for a nation. Probably the second greatest tragedy is the week after they didn't come back. You think, if only they had came and found something of substance in the house of the Lord, something of the reality, of the comfort, the sympathy that only the Holy Spirit can give, then maybe would have came back. But they turned up and just there wasn't that connection. I'm not putting the blame onto the church. What I'm saying is, during times of famine, the church should be a beacon of hope, a beacon of love, and when people come in, they should be faced, boom, with the reality of this Christ, this risen Savior that we proclaim. Moving on. During a time of famine. And Jacob said this. You've got to remember Jacob's story. Jacob was used to being in favor. Like, he went to Uncle Laban's house and everything round about him prospered. So much so that when he left with herds, he left with cattle, he left with, even when he was working for Laban, he managed to accumulate riches. So Jacob was used to being blessed. But it seems to be that 22 years has went on when Joseph had left, and it didn't look too good for him. He's facing famine, and he's still grieving. But he says, "Why are you standing around looking at one another?" to the 10 remaining brothers. Every one of them was hungry, and no one had a solution. That's why you cannot just hang around with people with the same problem as you. He says, "Why are you all looking at each other? You're all hungry, you're all starving. The solution is not in this group, it's somewhere else. There is grain in Egypt. Go down there, buy enough grain to keep us alive. Otherwise, we'll die." So Joseph's 10 older brothers went down to Egypt to buy grain. But Jacob wouldn't let Joseph's younger brother Benjamin go with him. For fear. For fear some harm might come to him. So Jacob's sons arrived in Egypt along with others to buy food, for the famine was in Canaan as well. Seems to be history repeating. Jacob's got a favorite once again, but Joseph has gone. The fruit of fear. Benjamin was born to Rachel, the wife that Joseph that Jacob really loved. But then Joseph went away and he thinks, my son has died. And he says, you can go to Egypt. Everybody apart from Benjamin, because I'm scared to lose him. What a thing to say to the other 10 sons, isn't it? Like, I don't want him to die, but you guys are expendable. Benjamin's the child that didn't get out to play when he was younger. I was brought up in a cul-de-sac. There was only one, and maybe you was that child. Abdi else got out to play at night, but apart from one, scared moms and dads. It's a fruit of fear. Keep Benjamin close. For most of us, it was like as soon as the street lights come on, you have to go home. But I was always one, and maybe you were the one, that they just wasn't allowed to play after supper. And this seems to be wide-swept fear in the northeast of Scotland now, although we live in Baghdad and near the Brock. But we're far more cautious, aren't we, parents, now than we used to be? Because we are really scared stuff will happen to our kids should they go to the swing park. But my generation and above, we were just far. We was brought up with swing parks, with skateboards, was climbing trees and fun doing, was riding in your bike out to Greenbank. But now we're just too scared. Why are we so scared with our kids now? We need them to experience the bumps of life. Because we've heard stories, haven't we? Bad things happen on the streets now. There's just too much cars. But there is pavements as well for us to walk on. But nothing gives me greater joy than seeing Jacob or Isaac climb a tree, kenning that they could fall off it. But realizing this is a training ground of life. I can't keep my Benjamin too close. One day, he's not got his daddy's protection and he's got to be thrust out in life. And he's got to learn if it is to get a grazed knee and be able to walk again. And if it is to jolt his elbow and get on with life. I'm not the perfect parent. In fact, I would say pastoring a church is a lot easier than being a parent. It's difficult. And I have sympathized with other people on Mother's Day, our parents in this generation. But hey, didn't I keep your Benjamins too close to you? Didn't I suffocate them and didn't I let them out to play? What are you scared of? Which tragedies really happen? Now, on the other hand, I'm not like encouraging him, like at the age of 4-year-old, to send him to Greenbank. I think we should be too scared. A lot of things that we're feared to. He says, I'm really feared. Benjamin, you're not getting out to play. You can imagine him in the kitchen at his dad's, Jacob's, house, and the 10 of them getting out to play and him sitting because his dad's too scared to let him out. And the anxiety that causes and the robbing of a little childhood that must have happened because Jacob, he just used to say, son, I lost Joseph. I'm not losing you. The other 10, they're expendable. But I'm keeping you so close. You're not getting out to play. I tell you, I was sitting next to Jacob. I came from a different generation. I'm not wanting to turn out to be my dad, Ken. My dad always used to say, in my generation, this happened. And now I'm turning into Jimmy and saying, in my generation. Like I'm sitting next to Jacob and it's a bonny night and he's on his device and you're thinking, what I really want to do is take him out and show him how to do chickenella and budge windows and do the Grand National. For them that didn't care for the Grand National, fit the Grand National was, the Grand National was a row of backers. We hedges in between the backers. And the Grand National was if I could get through that hedges in the row of backers. So we used to go and do the Grand National and try and jump and go through hedges and you'd have the scraps and the skewers. And fuck, hence what chicken Nelly was. Like, you used to be a pest to the neighborhood. I said to somebody that wasn't for the Brock, we used to play chicken Nelly. And I said, what's that? I says, I explained him fit was. And they says, no, we call that chap in the door and run away. Like, that's not a name, that's a sentence. That's a description. That's fit was, and run away. First, mine's back, that was fun. Because mum and dad, Andra, I can't think you was gotta be on us. That's gotta be the best sermon in the world for you. Like, he's a fire starter, and I take my kids out to Andra and does life with them. And I've got to find myself promoting stuff like that. Can't I keep Benjamins too close? Like, just go out and enjoy life. Can't I promote Chicken Nelly or Bud and Windows for the front? But behind the scenes, I maybe would. But fear. It's too dangerous to let Benjamin out the fruit. The root of fear was this, and that's the fun I'm going to touch upon for Eddie was saying. That I was stung with Joseph. And so, I kind of let Benjamin go. I was stung once before in history. I let Joseph go. I sent him out to catch up with his brothers, and he ended up dying. Therefore, Benjamin's not getting out to play. The root of the fear was something happened in history that didn't work out for me. Therefore, I'm keeping Benjamin close. You can liken that to what Eddie was saying. I tried ministry before, and it wrecked me, and it did not end well. I sent my Joseph out. I tried to prophesy before, and it didn't work. People laughed at me for mentioning the name of Jesus. They thought I was a whack job, and therefore, I'm so scared. And he keep this Benjamin so close. Not sure if I can progress. I'll never be in church leadership again, that's for sure. Because I remember when Joseph, and I opened myself up when I got wounded. Therefore, this Benjamin, this gift, I'm keeping it close. I opened myself up before. Sent my heart to somebody before in a relationship. Didn't it end well? Therefore, this love that I could carry, this Benjamin, gotta keep it so close. I can't give it to another person. I prayed, trusted God with my kids before, and I think it ended well. I need to keep this Benjamins closer. I need to keep them closer. Fear's a terrible thing, isn't it? Some folk are so scared of failure. I took a risk before. It ended in failure. I will never take a risk again. I'll never move in faith again. I'm going to keep this Benjamin close, for I can see. Never ever move in faith or take leaps of faith again. I need to control this Benjamin. I need to see if he's Dean. I can't send this Benjamin out again. Some people, they didn't fear failure. They fear success. We never speak about fear of success. But for some that are on a cycle of being failure and being success, and they go in cycles, they start fearing success. Because when they're surrounded in failure, they're comfortable in failure. They can't further stand in failure. And they found comfort in being at the side of the road begging. They understand how it operates. They understand the cycle. They understand the people that's involved. They understand what they've got to do to survive in that moment. And they're not feeling failure. But for some, they fear success, as in they get delivered out of failure. And they're not sure how to cope with success. Because success means going on with life, a new surrounding, a new environment, getting qualified, paying your bills, getting a job, getting new friends, negging back to some environments. And for some, success scares people. Do you understand that? Feel it so much that, hold on, if I get myself right again, then I open myself up to maybe letting Abdi else doon again. And I don't want to let Abdi else doon again, so instead of me letting Abdi else doon again, I'll never be a success again, I'll just stick in failure. Because I sent Joseph out before, and he didn't come back. So Benjamin doesn't go out to play. Fear. Jacob says, I'm so scared that Benjamin would go the same way as Joseph. And I believe that the word of the Lord today is, let your Benjamin go. Eddie, give everything to Jesus. You've been hurt before, doesn't mean you'll be hurt again. Why should you give him your Benjamin? Why should you give him everything? Because the thing you thought that didn't work before, there's no loss in the kingdom of Jesus. And you maybe thought that you went through something that, as you can see, is loss, but it as far has made you the day. And God says through his words, I will repay the years the locusts have stolen for you. I will repay it back. Far repays the hurt and the pain and the loss. God says, I'm going to pay it back to you. The loss isn't going to be part of the vocabulary of the Christian. And they will know that all things work together, everything, the heartache, the pain, the loss, the joys, the trials and the triumphs, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called by his name according to his purpose. You thought that was loss, but God still had his eye on that which you thought was lost. Because Jacob thought he'd lost Joseph, but yet Joseph lived and grew and become prosperous. Jacob only didn't see it. Especially them that you think you've lost family, and it's the most hurtful, grievous thing to go through, tragic grief, and you think, well, that's lost, but maybe God is reserving them in a place that you cannot see. And you need to put your hope in the reconciliation that happened here, that there's a feast awaits us in the kingdom of God, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And as you can see, is loss. But God says, I have never lost a battle yet. I'm going to repay the locusts. Everything will be repaid. In Proverbs it says, if a thief is caught in the action of stealing, that they will be forced to repay seven times that which is stolen. I put on that as a promise for God. The only thing I think the enemy has came in to steal, we expose it in Jesus' name, and I'm proclaiming and prophesying a sevenfold harvest. The only thing that I thought was lost to the devil, God says, when a thief is caught, seven times that which was stolen will be repaid. People, it's time again to trust Jesus with your Benjamins. I don't care for your Benjamin is. But God says, I know you in the innermost places, that heart, that soul, that thought process. God kens it, and he looks and sometimes puts his finger on, come on, you're okay, gain my 10 kids that you're not bothered about. I'm coming for your Benjamin. Time to let our Benjamins go. Because the story goes on. And I'll not go through the whole story for the sake of time. But Jacob didn't let Benjamin go, and they all turn up to Joseph. I'm going to cut a long story short here. And Joseph says, look, have you any more kids? And they say, ah, we lied before. Okay, there's one more kid. He's at home with dad. He's not allowed to play. And they're looking for grain. And Joseph says, you don't get any grain. I'll give you enough short term. You don't get to enjoy the feast unless Benjamin comes, the youngest child. So they go back and say, dad, you'll give us grain. However, you got to give him Benjamin. People, God's got so much for us. If we would give him our Benjamins, if we would trust him again and stop being so scared or getting wounded. And Jacob says, I'd rather starve than give him Benjamin. I got to keep Benjamin. And so they become starving, and it's worse than before. And then they says to the dad, are you got to let us starve here? Benjamin's got to die as well. Or are you got to allow us to take Benjamin to Joseph, but they didn't know it was Joseph yet, so we could get food. And then Jacob says this, may God Almighty give you mercy as you go before that man so that he will release Simeon and let Benjamin return. And if I must lose my children, so be it. I'm going to let him go. And if I suffer loss again, so be it. It's just the way it's going to happen. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is putting his finger on our lives this morning and saying, you've got to be released from fear. And if it doesn't work out for you, so be it. Fit your side, but we can it works out. You've moved in the Holy Spirit before, it's never worked out. You got confused, you got let down, you felt let down by somebody else, let down by God, let down by yourself. So Benjamin's close. God said, if you want to enjoy the feast, open up that area. Let the glory come in. Move again. Didn't I write yourself off for church leadership or positions because it didn't work out for you before? You'd have came for God has got in store for you. And then we get a wonderful picture in chapter 43. I'm just rounding this to a close. Let Benjamin go. There's this reconciliation. Joseph says, look, I am your brother. You thought I was dead, but I'm alive. The waiter served Joseph at his own table. His brothers were served at a separate table. The Egyptians who ate with Joseph sat at their own table because Egyptians despised Hebrews, refused to eat with them. Joseph told each of his brothers where to sit, and to their amazement, he seated them according to age, from oldest to young. Joseph filled their plates with food from his own table, giving Benjamin 5 times as much as he gave the others. So they feasted and drank freely with him. Letting Benjamin go, that fit he wanted to withhold, is now sitting at a table with 5 times as much than anybody else. Fit God can deal with that area that you had done to. People, it's time to feast again, and maybe you are feasting in good grain. But maybe fits withholding your feasting is your Benjamin that you're struggling to let go. We can trust God, we are Benjamins. I'm going to invite the worship team up. This is now an appeal to come to the forward. Because for some, what I've just said and what Eddie said means very little. Because you've surrendered your life to Jesus, you've given him everything. And you're feasting. And life's good. And you've got an hour of the hurts. And you've got an hour of the pains. You're starting to move again. And it looks like the fullness of Christ. But for some, And you'll ken for your Benjamin is. And it goes back to, you let Joseph go before, and you didn't think it worked out. Now fear leads you to a place of, like a closed door. I kind of let this feelings go again. I kind of take a chance again with this. I'm paralyzed by fear. I want to pray publicly again, but I just kind of, I want to evangelize, prophesy, move in the power of healing. I want to teach, I want to preach, but I kind of, I want to have a relationship again. But I trust God, we had Joseph before and was let down. And then I got to open myself up again to that. So for what we've got ideas, I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit. There's got to be a Holy Spirit moment. That if you have a Benjamin, then it gets revealed and dealt with. And how you deal with it? Simply by saying, like, Jesus, I give you my all. Not just to 10 brothers that I didn't have mine, not just to 10 things that I'm good at. I'm letting you into every area. And this is difficult stuff, but it's conviction of the Holy Spirit stuff. But if it awaits you on the other side of that, is a feast, a love and joy. Jesus says, I want to come in, stand at the door and knock. I want to come in and make my home with you. And interestingly, I said at the start that we'd gone through church renovation. I said, it's cool to take people in here and say, look at the banners, look at the new car, look at the seats. It's cool. But there's one area I wouldn't show you. That's the toilets. And we're going through renovation, Father said, well, at least he saw you the toilets new. It may be strange why the Holy Spirit's saying it's all right to take people in and show them. And it's all right to show God the stuff that you're good at. But it's time to let him into the area that you're ashamed of. That burden that you're still carrying. It's time to let Benjamin go. Come back to the cross of Calvary. And he'll deal with you and your fear and take up Benjamin in a feast. So just, I'm just going to ask for a moment of reverence as we close our eyes and bow our heads. We say, Jesus, search us and know us. You search me and you know me. You know me greater than myself. Every hair on our head is numbered and you know the secret place in our hearts. God, at this time I just ask that you would highlight our Benjamins. That thing that keeps us paralyzed in fear. Makes us keep checking our phone to see if there's a bad news message coming our way. Keeps marking this track every movement and control situations and keeping our Benjamins close. Holy Spirit, would you highlight the root of fear? In Jesus' name. And if the Holy Spirit highlights something to you, that wound, maybe you just want to say a simple prayer yourself, and I'll give 30 seconds for that. It could sound like, Jesus, I give you everything. And you can name that thing that you're keeping. I give you everything, Jesus. It's time to come in. God of all comfort. Deliver us from fear. And God, for every person in here, I say, deliver us from fear and take us into feasting. And God, that which we held closely, I pray we now see it at the table of the Lord. We have a plan and a purpose in feasting. And God, may the spirit of celebration and joy as we have repented, the spirit of celebration be found in this place. God, you are raising up a fearless generation that will move in the power of the Holy Spirit, that will give you everything, the 10 sons and the Benjamins. And you would equip us for every good thing, every good work in Christ Jesus. And there'd be so much grain in the house of Jesus that people would look upon us and say, oh, they've given Jesus everything. They've given him even their Benjamins. Oh, we want to be part of that celebration. We want to be part of that satisfaction, that fullness. And God, the world would look with jealousy as they see the operation of the fellowship moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. They would look with awe and wonder as they see a people saturated in the love of Christ, sold out for him. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Set us free from fear. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We've got a good. We have sung our prayers. We've got to take up our offerings. So good, isn't he? He's so tender and mercy, and Holy Spirit's moving. Again, confirmed by two witnesses. As Eddie shared something that I was just led to confirm, that it would again move. Fearless. We have a powerful God working through us. Let's stand and declare his praises.